I don't know about you, but have you ever realized that you're still being shaped? Some of you maybe today feel like, yeah, I need a do-over, like a golfer's term. I need a mulligan. Like, can we remold? Can we reshape? Can we restart? Maybe some of you feel absolutely perfect right now. Like life has never been so good. But it's this whole thing that we are constantly, through our lives, things go on and around us, and it affects us, and we are being reshaped. This series we're in right now, called It's All About You and Me, is all about being shaped. It's all about becoming who God intended us to originally be. And it was inspired by the fact that the reality is those outside of following Christ don't view the church the way in which God wants us to be viewed. You see, here's the deal. People view the church a certain way, but we should be known for two things. We should be known for the vertical, and that is, are we known to be a people who are fully devoted, passionately loving God, vertical? And as a response to that, are we known to be a people who are fully devoted to loving others, horizontal? The vertical and the horizontal, it's as simple as that. Is that what the church, is that what even Grace Community Church is known for? Oh, there is a people who I don't understand it, but they clearly love God and love others. That's what we are called to be like. And yet throughout the scriptures, in the New Testament alone, over 30 times, 30, God wants us to know, hey, how you are with one another is really important. So he defines 30 different moments of how we are to behave toward one another, how we are to treat one another, how we are to do life with each other. And in so doing, it's a reflection of who he is. He needs to give the directives. Why? Because they clearly weren't doing them. And it really is important. And so far in this series, I started it out and we talked about what does it look like to encourage one another. How's that going? Who have you encouraged this week? Have you been encouraged this week? Then I talked about we need to carry one another's burdens, be burden bearers. How is that going? We are to carry one another's burdens. It then went on to say, hey, we should spur one another on. It literally means kick one another in the rear. Like, come on, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And then we looked at, hey, what's it look like to live in community with accountability where you can confess to one another and pray for one another? What does that look like? We need that. On your own, it's not enough. And then last week, Pastor Mark talked about forgive one another. How did that go this week? See, here's the thing. This is not a heresy. It is not just all about you and Jesus. The church is not just all about, oh, it's just we and Jesus and that's all it. That'd be way easier if I didn't have to include anybody else. Just me and Jesus, we're good. But the whole point is, no, there is the vertical, but the reason is the horizontal. That completes it. Love God, love others. Today, I'm going to, at one point, read a large section of the scriptures. And so to help with that, I want every single one of you to have eyes on it as I go. So if you've brought a Bible, have that ready. If you didn't bring a Bible, we have them in the pew racks in front of you. Or if you have the Bible app, get your Bible app ready. And if there's not enough Bibles in the pew racks and those sitting next to you, then go ahead and share with one another so they can see it. And if you do not personally own a printed Bible, the one in the pew rack in front of you, go ahead, steal it with my permission. Seriously. If you're going to steal anything, steal a Bible. You'll soon get convicted. But go ahead, it's our gift. Take it. Just take it. Have that. I'm all good with that. But I want you to be able to look at it, because when I get to it, it's a decent length. You can at least see it. And if for some reason you don't fully understand what I said because of my perfect accent, you would then go, oh, this is what it actually said. He didn't say that, but this is the word. So there's a way of you tracking and seeing it. It's really important. So I want you to engage in that today. And again, if there's not enough Bibles in the pew rack and you've not got enough phones to be able to see it, then share. It's good. I want you to be able to follow along as I will share it in a moment. Are you ready? Today's one another is from Romans chapter 12. If you're not familiar with the Bible, there's the Old Testament, the New Testament. The New Testament is about the last 25 to 30% of the Bible. It's not in the middle. Okay? So you go to the back section of that. Then you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Slow down. There's the book of Acts, which is all the history and amazing outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on the early church, the new believers, straight after Jesus being risen from the dead. You've got the book of Acts, and then next is the book of Romans, where we're going to go. You see, there was this church forming and starting in the city of Rome that wasn't there, and so these believers gathered in Rome, and the Apostle Paul was the one who was communicating with these believers in the city of Rome, thus the book of Romans, and he explains in the first 11 chapters the gospel, really. This is why Jesus came, and this is what he has done for you, and his mercy and his grace is incredible, and he's become the sacrifice once and for all. You see, the wages of sin and was death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but there's more. He explains all of that. Then we get to chapter 12. So I'm going to read, first of all, just verse 9 and 10, and then in a moment we're going to read a whole big section, which puts it into context. Verse 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Duh. Why does he have to say that? Because clearly, for some reason, we don't. Then he goes on. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. There's the one another this week. Honor one another. And you think, okay, we're going to get a full message out of this. Why do we need to know to do that? Why do we need to be instructed to be devoted to each other and to honor? Why? Because it's an important, and this was what drove my whole message this week. One word, why? I ask myself the question, why? Why do I need to honor one another? Why? Really, why? Because it's nice. It's kind. It's just being a good human. No, there's a bigger why. Why this whole, it's about you and me? Why? You see, as children, children have that question all the time. And at certain stages, they go up, and as they grow a bit older, they ask questions. Why do I have to go to school? Why do I have to do math? I'll never do algebra again in my life. I'm going to be this. All those different questions. Or why do I? What's the point of that? Why do I need to? Why? And then as adults, we stop doing that. And we shouldn't. There's power in that question. And that's what I engage with. And engaging with that why, I got like, oh, I now get it. So here's verse 9 and 10, and we see that. We need the why, so let's go to verse 1 of chapter 12. I'm going to read the first 16 verses of chapter 12 today. It's a long stretch. That's why I need you to engage in it and follow along. So I'm going to go to this side, because kind of got my notes here, but this side, whatever comes out of my mouth in the next couple of minutes reading this, you cannot argue with or disagree. Because it's not Des preaching, all right? It's the word of God that's sharper than a double-edged sword. I'm going to set aside here, come alongside. It's holy, which means to be set apart. So I'm going to read this, follow along, engage with it. It's not some manual to help you have a better life. You open your Bible each day not to get a word of instruction. You open your Bible to meet someone and hear from him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Are you all following along? That means don't look at me. Don't look at me. And if you don't want to read along because for whatever, then close your eyes. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, some text said brothers and sisters, I urge you in view of God's mercy. There's the why. To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Just as an aside, if anybody here ever leads a Bible study or preaches or teaches, stop reading the scriptures bland and boring. Why do I say that? Because that's kind of what happens. You read the text like it's a manuscript and blah, 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 oh, and then get excited. So if that's you, I'm just going to give you, admonish you right now, spur you on. I don't know how you can read the Bible and not have inflection. Not, it's living, okay? So if we ever just, no, it doesn't work that way. If anything, it should be the opposite. Better I'm boring and the scriptures are lively than the other way around. Agreed? All right, moving on. That wasn't in my notes. Why do we need to honor one another? He's just given the why. We are not messengers for God. We are not the ones to be the messengers for God. We are the message. Seriously. When we just say we have a job to do and be messengers, we miss it. We are the message. Just, we are what? The body of Christ. Those in Christ, we are the body. We are the message. That's what it means when we live vertical and horizontal. We are the message. What he's seen and heard and smelt on us is the message. We're not just some messengers. I can relay a message that I have no ownership of. Agreed? I can receive and pass along something to you. Here's some information. If we are information sharers, so what? Anybody can do that. But if you are members of one body, you are the message. Why do we need to honor one another? In doing so, we honor the one in whom we belong to. We represent. Because verse 1 says, honor one another. Verse 1 of chapter 12, therefore, in view of God's mercy. It's a response to, brothers and sisters, I urge you in response, in reaction, in reflection to the mercy of God, then, in response, reflection, reaction, there's something takes place. So when we encounter God's grace and his mercy, something should shift. Now, Christians are to become, aren't we, more Christ-like. In fact, the word Christian originates from the word little Christs that people used to give the new believers as a nickname. Look at them, those little Christs, looking and walking around. Kind of an awesome thing to say. That's what it is. They can see how we live our lives. We are the message. And so in response, let me ask you a question. We collectively, Grace Community Church, are we living in such a way that we are a true response and true reflection of God's grace and mercy? Then ask yourself the question personally. Am I living in such a way that is a therefore in view of God's mercy? Is my life lived in such a way that it is a response and it reflects the grace and mercy of God? Honor one another above yourselves. Why? Because it is a reflection of the grace and mercy of God. And to dishonor is to dishonor God's grace and his mercy. Wow. Now, isn't it incredible that verse 10 said, honor one another above yourselves, but verse 11, one of the best verses in the whole Bible, in my opinion, says this: never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Why does he need to say that? Because when we live our lives in response and reflecting the grace and mercy of God, he's saying, hey, don't be such a deadweight, boring believer. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You're like, well, Des, that's easy for you to say because you're a passionate kind of guy. But why am I a passionate kind of guy? I'm passionate about a few things in life. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Here's the deal. Who is responsible for you becoming more passionate for Jesus? Who is responsible for you growing more as a disciple? Who is responsible for you understanding and know more about God to live in your life in such a way that you are closer to God than ever before? Who is responsible for that? Guess what? It ain't me. I've had to set myself free in recent weeks on that. It's not my job that you grow closer to Jesus. That's not my job. It's pretty freeing when I went, oh, yeah. You cannot go before Jesus one day and say, hey, Jesus, I'd have got to know you so much better if my pastor was better. Jesus is going to go say, what? You were putting all your hope in that guy to walk with me closer? Really? Here's the deal. The Hebrew word for learning and teaching is the word lamad, and it literally means to cause to learn. My role is to inspire you, to cause you to want more, not to give you more. My role is to do that in such a way you go, I think I understand that. Oh, now I can walk with Christ more, get closer to him more. You have never lived in a world in history where you've had more opportunity to learn for free. It's all there. Don't forget, this was written to these people and they didn't have a printed word. You live this side of the printing press. It's available. And more. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Whose responsibility is that? Yours. It's yours. Your responsibility. Now, if I can spur you on and encourage you on all of that, then that's my role. I get to serve you in enabling that. But you can't go, oh, my pastor sucked, so never mind. Sorry, Jesus, you know. My church was so terrible. Jesus is like, really? That's my bride you're talking about, who I died for and gave my everything for. How dare you talk about my bride like that? So, am I living my life in such a way that it reflects that? You see, my identity is not who I am, it's whose I am. Many people go through identity crises, and it's down to an identity of who am I, why am I here, what has caused me to get here. That is all important, but then the question is, whose am I? Because that reflects it. Now, this isn't on the screen because it was an additional text that I got this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to turn to it. In fact, don't turn to it. Let me just read this to you. Ephesians chapter 2. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Who do you belong to? You're members of God's household, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Which house do you live in? Which household do you belong to? Which household, whose household do you belong to? You see, Romans 12, 13 said, practice hospitality. That's got to reflect the house in which you live in, agreed? Whose house do you belong to? What kind of hospitality does the household of God offer? Judgmental hospitality? Everybody is welcome hospitality. What does it look like? So, any house is designed to reflect its owner. I don't know what your home is that you live in, but I wonder, does it reflect your personality? Does it reflect it? Are there things in your home that if somebody was to visit and you were not there, you would go, oh, I think I, what kind of a person lives here? It's going to reflect it. Maybe when you were young and you had your own bedroom, you put your marker on your bedroom. Maybe something on your nightstand that was important to you. Or maybe you were able to put things on the wall that mattered to you. Maybe a heartthrob or whatever it may be. Something was there that you had devotion for, or it reflected you. Maybe you put trophies up and medals up or certificates. Or maybe you had a big bookcase. Or maybe whatever it was, there was something that you wanted to feel at home in that reflected your personality. But the overall home, really, there's something powerful about it reflecting the owner of the home. So if we are part of God's household, do we reflect the owner to which we live in his house? Does Grace Community Church have on it a hallmark that reflects the owner of it? Because the owner above the door is Jesus, his grace and his mercy and his power and his love and his second chances, third chances, 1 million chances, forgiveness. Does it reflect that? Just to help you with that, let me ask you a practical question. Have you ever been in somebody else's home and you've realized, wow, this does reflect the owner? Have you ever been in someone's home and not known the owner and thought, I wonder what the owner's like here? So let me tell you a story. A number of years ago, I was living in England, and I got to go into someone's home. There was this guy, Chris, and he ended up, long story short, without getting into the detail, he did a two-week internship with me. And part of that two-week internship, I was doing different ministry things, and it would involve me going speaking in lots of high schools and things like that. And one particular day, we went into a high school in our city, and around the corner from that school was where he lived. And he said, hey, for lunch today, why don't we go back to my home, his parents' home, and we'll go there and we'll have sandwiches there. What about that? I went, deal. Makes complete sense. So this particular day, we went back home. Some of you know the story. Keep your mouth shut. And so we went back home that day, and we walked into his house, and we took a right straight into the kitchen. Now, Chris was like about an inch taller than me. I'm 6 feet. He's about 6'1". And we went into his kitchen, and everything was this level. Everything was low down. The sink, the countertops, everything was low down. And I was like, never been in a kitchen like this before. Okay. And I was like, all right. And he went, yeah, okay. A little weird, this kitchen. I went, just different. Everything's great, but low down. He went, yeah, my parents are little people. I went, cool. He said, I'm not, because I was adopted. But they're little people. I went, cool, makes complete sense. I'd never been in a kitchen of little people before. It was cool. Everything worked just like low down. And so we got the ingredients out and we started making sandwiches and it was all good. And I was, you know, and I'm hanging out with him and it was a short time. And then we made the sandwiches. He said, oh, let's go on into the living room and we'll eat our sandwiches. I went, great. We walk into the living room and I walk in and I went, whoa. Whose house am I in? He said, there were things on the wall that my eyes were drawn to. And I'm looking on the wall and there's these big photographs in frames and pictures and I'm looking in their movie sets. And I'm like, okay. And it's movie sets of my favorite movies. And I'm like, oh, where am I right now? And then I looked above the fireplace as his mantelpiece, and on the mantelpiece were two, like the size of basketballs, cut glass crystal things, star-shaped things, and somehow blown into the middle of these cut glass crystal star things is the phrase, may the force be with you. And I'm like, they look expensive. And there's a plaque on the base of those, and the plaque said, cast member, Star Wars, A New Hope. And then another one said, cast member, Empire Strikes Back. I'm salivating. I'm like, what's going on right now? Where am I? This is amazing, but I'm looking in the wall and thinking, I think I know where I am right now. I think this house reflects the owner. Put the picture up. This is whose house I was in. Put the picture up. So this is whose house I was in. So that's Kenny Baker. He's from my home city of Preston in England. He passed away about 18 months ago. And so this is Kenny Baker, who is R2-D2. And so, and I'm like, and Chris is like, yeah, that's my dad. Oh, and by the way, that picture there, that's my dad, like in R2-D2, and that Ewok there, that's my mum. I'm like, what? And I'm like, this is just wow. And I'm having this moment. I've not eaten my sandwich, which is amazing for me. And so I'm like, this is incredible. And then the front door opens and in he walks. And I'm like, pleased to meet you. And he's like, oh, yeah. I said, oh, you're the guy who's got to look after my son for a couple of weeks. I'm like, yeah. He said, all the best with that. He's a loser. Just because there's a whole backstory to why Chris was with me for 2 weeks, but that's by the by. I'm like, wow. Now, I move on, and I could talk more about that particular day, but I won't do, but I want to say this to you. I walked into a house, and I realized that it reflected the owner. Little people reflected the owner. The things on the wall, it was a reflection of the owner, and I was in awe. How much more, as members of Christ's household, are we given an opportunity to reflect the owner? Do we reflect the owner? Do I reflect my owner? Do we on a Sunday, does this space and place reflect the owner? You see, Jesus desires that we reflect him. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. No, you're the light of the world, Jesus. No, you are. No, you are, Jesus. No, you are. I've called you to be the light of the world, but I thought you were the light of the world. No, you are. He desires us. He said, you know what? My kingdom will advance when I leave and go back to be with my Father. And then I will leave to you the Holy Spirit, and in and breathing all through you, throughout the whole earth, my kingdom will advance, and you will reflect the owner of my kingdom by the way you one another. By this, all people will know you belong to me. I'm like, wow. When we are united with Christ, no longer foreigners and aliens, we reflect the owner, and together we are being built into this holy temple, a place where his spirit dwells. Wow, my shoulders are standing taller. Wow, amazing. I said this at 8:30, and I can say it now. I was meant to now go into a whole big long of the scripture. There's no way I've got time. It'll be next week. But I'll give you the first two verses of it. It's Philippians. Just keep going to your right. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. If you see Colossians or anything beginning with T, take a left. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read the first two verses. Then next week, I'm going to read probably 16 verses. And it'll help us with what does it look like to live in harmony with one another next week. Philippians 2, 1 and 2. In view of this whole context I'm talking about. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. There's the why. Here's the why. Purpose. Being one in spirit and purpose. If a team sport goes on the field, they have a clear purpose. If an army goes into battle, everybody puts others higher than themselves, don't they? For the sake of the purpose, the sake of the why. There's the why again. Being one in spirit and purpose. When we put our personal preference above his purpose, we breed disunity. Now that's worth tweeting. When we put our personal preferences over God's purposes, we breed disunity. We are citizens of God's household, therefore we should be reflecting his purpose. So what does the scripture say? The reason the Son of Man came was to seek and to save that which was in church. I hope some of you are going, that isn't right. You're right, it's not right. The Son of Man did not come to seek and to save that which was in church. It's not his purpose. The sick need a doctor. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, it also says in the scriptures, the reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the devil's work. What does that look like? One translation says, the reason the Son of Man came was to untie the works of the evil one. He came to see people set free, not people become more pious and judgmental. The reason, what's his purpose? For this cause, God sent his one and only Son into the world. There's a purpose. And when we place our personal preference above the why we are here, above what why we exist as a church, we breed disunity. And in breeding disunity, we sever the horizontal and the vertical. And we argue about things that are really not ultimately about his purpose. So when he says honor one another above yourselves, when he says keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord, never be lacking in zeal, it's all for his purpose. Pretty amazing. And so I need to land the plane. Oh, wow. Didn't realize what time it was. So it all starts with the vertical. And I just want to call many of you today to this reality. I believe today you need to engage the vertical again and go back to the foot of the cross. Go back to the foot of the cross and look at him and say, why? And receive his mercy. He did come to seek and to save, to forgive, to redeem, to restore, to pay the price for the penalty of our disobedience and separation from God. He came to make a way where there was no way. He realized you were never going to be good enough, but he wanted to put his righteousness all over you. You need to go back to the foot of the cross. We have one here. There's one on Southern, so you can be reminded the cross. Cross is incredible and receive his mercy. Then I want you to go to the empty tomb and receive his grace. You see, his mercy is incredible, but his grace goes way beyond what we deserve. That's why it's grace. You see, he didn't just want to pay a price for your separation. He wanted to set you free and live in resurrection power. He wanted then to be able to be alive in and through all of you so that the church could be the hope of the world. You see, there was a mission to complete, and the mission to complete is the redeeming of God's whole creation. And he wants you as part of that mission. Therefore, go to the empty tomb and receive his grace. The foot of the cross for his mercy, the empty tomb for his grace, and honor one another in that. That means today for some of you, your posture is repentance. You see, repentance at its word, although it means return to God's original intention, it actually does have in its root change your mind. That's what I need to engage today. Oh, yes. I've been focusing on my preference and not your purpose, Lord God. My spiritual zeal and fervor has gone cold. I'm coming back, God, to the foot of the cross to receive your mercy. And he goes, it's every morning. It's available every morning, new every morning. And I'm coming to see your empty tomb to receive your grace and empower in me, Lord God, the power of the resurrection in every sphere of my life. That's what I need. Repent and receive. I'm going to close this morning singing a song that to me does verse 11 of Romans 12. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I absolutely, unashamedly lose my mind when I engage in this song. Breathe. We breathe to worship you. What's my existence? To worship him. How do I worship him? I worship him with the way I live my life, the way I walk, the way I talk, the way I use my hands, every posture of me. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I breathe to worship you. It's amazing. I found a video for this song on YouTube this week. And the guy who wrote it singing, and they've spliced into it. YouTube, the word breathe, Matt Gilman. Ooh. Influence music. You can write that down. Breathe, influence music. There's a video, and there's this teenage boy in a bike. Oh, I could go off on one. Anyway, moving on. So just so good. It just, this song gets this out. There's a zeal and a passion that just, come on now. I breathe, God, to worship you. Honor one another. Above yourselves, the vertical and the horizontal. I'm pretty fired up right now, but anyway. And if you've got something this week that is causing a barrier between your spiritual fervor and zeal, is this brokenness, there's something there, you need to do some repentance, but come on out. We have a team of people to pray with you. It's too important. Together, pray for one another. There is something dynamic when we do that. Incredibly so. Are we tracking? Lord God, I thank you for your mercy. And in view of your incredible mercy, we respond and we want to reflect your grace and your mercy this week. May we be a people that when you said, behave like this toward one another, it reflects whose household we belong to. Lord, may we live our lives in reflection of whose we are, whose house we live in. It's yours, King Jesus. We are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand up. Let's sing this to the top of your lungs and beyond. And we'll carry on next week.